these kind of holidays, you know, you sit there and go, wow, it's Easter. What? People kind of expect something special, you know what I mean? So I'm like, I got no clue. I'm like, we'll just show up and worship because that's why we're here, right? We're here just to encounter the Lord. You know, so I initially was like, all right, you know, we can, I don't know. Sometimes you just go, I don't know, right? Have you ever been there? Or, you know, huh? You guys, you always know what you're going to do. So the Lord directs my attention to Acts chapter 3, right? And, there goes my phone. Let me turn that off. Acts chapter 3, of course, is after Acts chapter 2. Just want to make sure we got that straight. But what happened in Acts chapter 2? Come on, Bible scholars. What happened, huh? Yeah, the day of Pentecost, right? Baptism in the Holy Spirit. Everybody got filled with the Spirit and was just, you know, their lives were turned upside down by the presence of God, by Holy Spirit, right? So that was the birthday of the church, by the way, just if you weren't aware of that. Day of Pentecost was the birthday of the church, right? So we should really have a cake every time Pentecost comes around now. It's going to be one of those nights, so just roll with me. So I'm reading Acts chapter 3, and actually I don't even have it in front of me. I could look it up, but how many of you have your Bibles? Look at that. Oh man, you guys are awesome. On your cell phone, yeah. So Acts chapter 3 is the story of how Peter and John were on their way into the temple, and there was this guy that was lame, right? He was crippled, born crippled, is what the Bible really says. He was lame from his mother's womb, right? He was there, and, you know, he's begging for charity, for alms, right? And Peter and John go by, and the guy says, hey, give me something. And Peter turns to him and says, look at me. Right? What does he say? Silver and gold have I none, but what I have, I give to you in the name of Jesus. Get up and walk. Arise and walk, right? So that's what the guy does. I mean, in my version, I love the way they wrote it. With a leap, he stood upright and began to walk. And he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. That's a nice story, right? I mean, you feel good for the guy, you know. Oh, this poor guy was, you know, hasn't been able to live any kind of a decent life. Had to beg for his food and whatever every day because his feet or foot was whatever. Jack, I mean, you imagine that, right? Having that as your problem, and you had to be carried everywhere. They didn't have wheelchairs back then. You know, you had to be carried to wherever you needed to go. And so they would carry him to the temple every day so he could beg and get a little bit of money and hopefully get enough for food and whatever else. So it's a nice story. I never gave it a second thought until this week when all of a sudden the Lord began to speak to my heart about how this story represents what he said to me was, I want to talk to you, son, about the signs and wonders of the resurrection. The signs and wonders of the resurrection. And you know, when we think about signs and wonders, we think about what happened to this guy. He's just miraculously, instantaneously healed, right? But what God was showing me was something much deeper and much more profound for you and I today. You know, it's fascinating how I'll be reading something in the Bible, you know, and this typically happens to me when I'm reading the Gospels, and this is really the first time it happened in the book of Acts, but I'll be reading about something that happened in the life of Jesus, something that he did, and all of a sudden, the Lord is speaking to me prophetically through the story. I mean, I went and did, you know, I studied the miracles of the Gospel of John one year, and in every miracle, there was a prophetic word that God wants to release through the miracle. Maybe someday I'll teach on that. It's just really interesting stuff. But I'm reading this story, and all of a sudden, the Lord begins to speak to my heart prophetically about what this story means for you and I. Because what He showed me was that every single one of us, we start out in life crippled and lame. We're born into this world a cripple. Maybe not physically, but spiritually, and in terms of our full potential, we're born into this world defective. Does that make sense? You know, the Bible says that we're all born and we're... What's the scripture? Hello. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Right? That's how we're born. We're born falling short of the glory. And you know, over the past number of years, the Lord began to open up to me what the glory actually looks like. Because I always thought it was just that nice glow. You know, the glow of God. Mm-mm. The glory that He's talking about here, you know what it is? Jesus. And every single one of us falls short of that glory. When Jesus came on the scene, God said, finally, I have what I always intended for the human race. Jesus is what I always had in mind for people. So we're all born that way, right? Ephesians 2:1 says that you were dead in your trespasses and sins. That's how we were born. Isn't that crazy? We're born into this life, born into this world, and we're born dead. Why? Because we don't know God. We don't have a relationship with Him. And so in the core of our being, right, our spirit man, we're dead. We're just not alive. And so I'm reading this story, and the Lord's beginning to speak to me and showing me prophetically how this poor guy represents every single one of us before we knew Jesus. Right? We were born defective. God, in His universal grace, had to provide for us when we didn't even know Him, when we didn't even like Him. We didn't, you know what I mean? He continued to carry us before we knew Him. You realize that, right? That God absolutely took care of you before you knew Him. Just like this guy was cared for and carried by people, right? And we all, when we come into this world, we always feel like there's never going to be enough, right? We struggle with a mindset of poverty. I'm never going to have enough, or what I have is going to run out. And then what will I do? You know? We all struggle with that. And so, like this poor guy, all he could do was beg. We go through life begging, pleading, hoping that things will change or things will get better or that God will smile on us, you know, if we do enough good things. It just was like, whoa, this man's life is such a prophetic picture of each of us before we come to know the Lord. And in the story, what happens? You got a couple of guys that know Him, that know God. They come along, and all of a sudden, this guy's life is instantaneously changed for the better, right? And so I'm looking at that, and I'm like, oh, man, you know, you look in Ephesians 2:4-6, where it says that God, being rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's what, when this guy, you know, I give you what I have in the name of Jesus, rise and walk. This is what the Lord has done for each of us. When we received Christ, when we accepted Him as our Lord and Savior, right? That's what we just read. He says He made us alive and raised us up, seated us in heavenly places. Right? 2 Corinthians 5, Paul talks about how we are new creatures. Old things have passed away, and the new has come. We're new creatures in Christ. So it's a whole new life that this guy was given, and so were we. We were given that new life, right? And then finally, you see in verse 16, Paul is explaining to everybody how this happened, because, you know, the crowd comes running up, and they're, you know, looking at Paul, looking at Peter and John. And so Peter has to say to them in verse 16, on the basis of faith in his name, it is the name of Jesus which has strengthened this man whom you see and know. And the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect health in the presence of you all. Here's what's fascinating about this. The phrase perfect health, I don't know what your version says, but I have the New American Standard, and it says that this man now has perfect health. The word there in the Greek, it actually means wholeness. Wholeness. And it really has within it the full meaning of the word shalom, which is an Old Testament Hebrew word. Shalom means more than peace, right? It means wholeness, healing, freedom, provision, all of these things, right? And that is what Peter says happened to this guy, that this man, through faith in Jesus, in the name of Jesus, he now stands before you whole. And the Lord, in saving us, in raising us up, he says, I have made you whole. What? What are you talking about, Willis? How can you say I'm whole? I still have a lot of problems. I still have a lot of weaknesses. How can you say, I'm not saying that. Colossians 2, 9 and 10 says, for in Jesus all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, and in him you have been made complete, lacking nothing. You can actually translate that rendered perfect. How? By being put into Christ. By being made one with Jesus, we are made whole. We are made complete in our spirit man. And that gets to work outside of us. Okay? So as I'm pondering all this, and I'm seeing the prophetic, you know, implications that the Lord is saying, that this guy pictures who you were and who you are. The idea here is that when the Lord raised us up, he raised us up with a whole new identity, a whole new understanding that was coming to us as to who we really are. This guy's life was changed. He was no longer bound to an old life where he couldn't do anything. He jumps up, he starts walking, he begins leaping and walking and praising God. He begins to actually function perfectly in his body. And the Lord is wanting to use this picture of this guy's life to speak to every single one of you today. And what the Lord said to me is, he said, I want my kids tonight, I want my children to encounter me once again as the one who lifts them up, causes them to leap and to take on that new identity, that new persona that he has given you, where you are now complete. You are now just every bit as whole as this man was made physically. God is trying to speak to you to say, that's how I've made you. You are not any longer a person who is groveling on the ground because you feel like you're defective in some way, that there's something wrong with you that is keeping you from leaping and reaching what God has ordained for you to enjoy, to experience in your life. And so I'm saying, okay, Lord, how do you want to do that? How do you want to communicate and touch our lives tonight in a way that will bring this home. Because you know what? I'm not here just to talk a nice story and tell you about some guy and try to, you know, communicate a prophetic word through it. If we don't encounter God in that, we might as well just go home. Because He gives us His word so we can encounter Him and be changed in the encounter. So the question has to be, do you feel and do you see yourself in any way where you might still identify somewhat with this guy, you know, before he got touched by God? Are there things that you think about yourself, how you see yourself, where you kind of feel like, I still kind of feel like I'm defective in some way, like there's something wrong with me, like, I'm a little bit lame in some ways. You're not seeing yourself the way He sees you. If that's you, He wants to take that off of you tonight. And what he showed me was that we could do a prophetic act tonight that would allow Him to touch us in that way and bring us that level of revelation and refreshing in the Lord so that we would experience that on a deeper level. Does that sound okay? Amen, Alex. Come on, buddy. So, you know, I'm asking the Lord, how do we actually do this, Lord? Because I'm trying, buddy. Really, I am. There's a couple different ways that we could do it. And some of you, you know, may have a hard time with this. And if you do, that's okay. But try not to. All right. What I think we should do, honestly, is that we should take turns lifting each other up. Right? And so, Jackie, come here. I'm gonna have you help me with this, okay? All I need you to do is take me by the hand and say to me, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk.
In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk.
And then you get to walk around and leap and praise the Lord and just go crazy. Now, I don't want to be the only one that does this tonight. So I dare you. If you want to experience what the Lord is talking about prophetically and have something taken off of you and removed off of you that's been actually holding you back from truly embracing your identity. You know, one of the scriptures that the Lord spoke to me through this thing was Isaiah 40, where it talks about those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings as eagles. They'll run and not grow weary. They'll walk and they won't faint. There's abilities that the Lord is wanting to release through us that we haven't tapped into yet. And this is part of that release. You know, the scripture there in the Hebrew, it actually says that they that wait on the Lord will exchange their strength. So I exchange mine for His. That's what this is all about. Right? So, you can either do what I did. I don't know. I don't know how to tell you to do this. I just know that the Lord said if they do it, I'm going to touch them. I'm going to touch them tonight. So you could pair up. You could do it yourself. Just get on your knees and say, Lord, I receive it, and jump up as a prophetic act. That's what we're doing tonight. You know, prophetic acts make us feel stupid because, I'm going to look dumb. Yeah. I looked pretty stupid when I was, right? I mean, come on. But you know what? I'd rather look dumb and receive from Him than look cool and miss out on what He wants to release in my life. That's right. Preach it, brother. This kid's going to be a real dynamo for the Lord when he gets older. For sure. So now everybody's going to just sit there and go, what do we do now? I know I'm stretching you guys. I really do. I know I'm stretching you. There you go. In the name of Jesus, I said walk. Oh, Jackie. All right, well, listen, I am impressed. I am absolutely impressed at what you guys just did. That's so good. That's so good. And so I just want to prophesy over you guys tonight in the name of Jesus that you have just been released from every beggarly mindset that you had up until this point. The Lord has released you from the mindset of poverty, of inability, of defectiveness, of unworthiness. Everything that you felt was not good in you, the Lord is saying, I'm changing that right now. I'm reversing that and I'm releasing to you the truth of how I see you, of how I see you. Amen? One last thing I want to share with you out of this passage that really kind of surprised me. In verse 11, it says about this guy that now was just healed and was just walking and leaping and praising God and just having a party all by himself, right? This is what it says about him in verse 11. While he was clinging to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them at the so-called portico of Solomon, full of amazement. I want you to think about this with me for a minute. Here's this guy who, for the very first time in his life, was able to get up, walk, run, and just be free to go wherever he wanted to. Yet, it says he was clinging to Peter and John. Now, in no way am I suggesting that he was clinging to Peter and John because for some reason he all of a sudden lost his ability to stand up. No. But think about this. He was now free to do whatever he wanted, to run anywhere, go anywhere, and he's clinging to Peter and John? What in the world is going on there? The Lord is saying to us, no matter how much I heal you and transform you, you will never be all that I want you to be separated from your brothers and sisters. This man knew instinctively, no one told him this. He just knew instinctively that he had to stay close to Peter and John. Even though he could have run off anywhere he wanted to, he recognized that there was something there for him by staying close to these two brothers. And I felt like God just was like, whoa, bam, that was such a major thing that he showed me there. That no matter how free we get, no matter how whole and healed we're able to walk in, we never lose our need to cling to one another and support one another, to help one another. You know, in Hebrews, it talks about not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, right? And we always were taught that that had to do with going to church every Sunday. But it doesn't, you know, that's a small part of it. It really is talking about making time to be together, to connect, to love one another. The verse goes on to talk about stimulating one another to good works. You know how you do that? Oh my gosh, I can't wait till we all get this and start doing it every day. Talking to people about who they really are. Say, oh, you know, I just love how God has anointed you in Jackie's case, I just love how God's anointed you as an evangelist, and everywhere you go, people just get loved on by God. And to be able to encourage each other like that concerning the things that God's put in you, your gifts and talents and abilities and anointings, and just to say, yeah, go for it. You are amazing when you do that, right? to encourage one another in that way. And how does that happen? It can only happen if we stay close, right? If we, you know, hang on to one another and are willing to speak to each other in that kind of an encouraging way. Isn't that awesome? I mean, I'm just like, oh God, this is the weirdest Easter message that you know. But yet, the idea, the full idea of what God wants you to understand about this, right? When we talk about signs and wonders, the signs and the wonders of the resurrection are you. You are the sign. You are the evidence. You're the proof of the resurrection because you are a different person. You are someone that's been transformed by the presence, by the blood, by God's power. You are different. You're a sign and a wonder of the resurrection. And I was like, that is so cool. And so, you know, when he showed me that, I was like, okay, that's a good Easter message. I can... You know, because it was like up to then, it's like, well, why? Why would I talk about this on Easter? Because the Lord is absolutely wanting us to recognize how we are signs and wonders by just how we live, how we show people who He really is, right? Through the love, through the grace, through the honor, through the power that we get to release on people. That's who you are. So I want you, you know, before we worship tonight, I want you to go talk to three people and tell them you're a sign and a wonder.